Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until midnight right here on AM 1220. The Word, I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And, coming on the air tonight, just thinking about what's happening over in Israel on the other side of the world from us right now. Have you been paying attention to this? And certainly the whole thing that's playing out over there with the terror attacks in Israel, some saying the worst in their history, certainly the worst in the last 50 years, at least since the Yom Kippur War 50 years ago, but really even worse than that in terms of, the latest I saw, they're already saying over 700 Israelis have been killed. And it's not just Israelis. If you've been following the news, there's been other nationalities killed there. There's at least four Americans that they know of that have been killed. There's been Brazilians, there's been Germans, there's been others that are confirmed have been killed, and then others have been abducted, and they still don't know the number there. So certainly I hope you'll join in praying for the peace of Jerusalem, as the Bible says. We see what's happening over there. We're going to be talking about that tonight at various times, and we're also going to be talking about a number of things, but do encourage you, watch the news, and it's just a very serious situation over in Israel right now in the Middle East, and we'll be praying for them. And in addition to that, got some other things I want to mention about. I want to talk a little bit about early voting is starting October the 11th. Today is the 8th, so that makes it what, on Wednesday, I believe that is, 8, 9, 10, yeah, Wednesday, and early voting starting here in Ohio, and we certainly continue to urge you to pray about Issue 1 and Issue 2. Of course, Issue 1 is the radical abortion bill or amendment to the Ohio Constitution that'll basically make it a right for a woman to have an abortion all the way up until the very day that she's given birth, the very moment of birth, actually, and only her and the doctor will be in charge. No parent or guardian can influence the decision. State can't influence. We'll be talking about that a little bit more as well. And then, of course, the other issue, Issue 2, is the legalization of recreational marijuana and making that a constitutional right in the state of Ohio. And it's just beyond me. I saw a program where they were talking about why people were supporting Issue 2, and a guy was talking about how he had post-traumatic stress syndrome, and he had various chronic pain and things like that, and he said that smoking marijuana was the only way that he could get relief. And my wife and I were watching that. We looked at each other and said, wait a minute, Ohio already has medical marijuana. You don't need recreational marijuana in the Ohio Constitution in order to get marijuana for medicinal use. What is this guy talking about? And of course, you know, a reminder again, once more, that in order to pass Issue 2 and in order to pass Issue 1, the people who are pushing those issues just simply blatantly lie. They have no regard for the truth, and they just simply lie. Well, so we'll be talking about that a little bit, why we should vote no on both Issue 1 and Issue 2. And of course, we'll talk about that a little bit because the early voting starts on Wednesday, October the 11th. And then, of course, we have Election Day in November. So I encourage you, make sure you get out and vote, and make sure that you pray about your vote, and make sure that you get those around you to get out and vote. And you can vote early, and early voting, or if you need to, I'm sure you can get an absentee ballot. used to be very difficult. You about needed doctor's note to get an absentee ballot. Now you can get just about anything. They send the things out without you even asking. But fact of the matter is, there's no excuse not to vote between early voting and absentee ballots. And then, of course, Election Day, November the 7th. And that will be the end of it, hopefully, right there. And then we'll hopefully see Issue 1 and Issue 2 defeated. All right. Well, we got other things to look at, things to pray about. And so let's open in a word of prayer. And we'll jump into a few things, and we'll get to our callers here tonight as well. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for, again, the opportunity to be on the air tonight. We do thank you for making it possible for us to be able to be here. And we just pray that you would just use the program tonight for your glory. Help us point people to Christ that are searching. Help us to encourage believers in their walk with you. And then, Lord, we just ask that as we consider and think about what's happening in Israel, Lord, we just pray for the situation there. We don't know what all is going to transpire there, but Lord, we know that you have a plan, you have a purpose, Lord, and we just pray that you would help us to be watching and waiting and to be able to do what we can to be a part of your plans and to fulfill your purposes. Bless now, we pray, in the program this evening, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Said you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and you can give us a call tonight. Our telephone lines are open, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the radio here tonight with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And you check out our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. If you go there, you can look at a variety of our various articles and things that we have there. My latest article, which was not planned prior to, there was no prior knowledge of what was transpiring over in the Middle East this weekend when I began putting this article together. In fact, I wrote most of this article in Kentucky. Last week, we were down in Kentucky and the fore part of the week, and this is where I actually wrote this article, but the article's entitled, "And So All Israel Shall Be Saved." And I don't believe I have that on our website yet, but we do have it on some of our social media at the moment. I think our website, the current one there is, or the latest one there is the article that I have, "Why Talk About the Blessed Hope?" And that's talking about the rapture and why we should be thinking about the rapture. And this one here is talking about Israel. And the Bible has a lot to say about what happens with us in terms of those of us that have accepted Christ as our Savior. But here's the question. What about the Jewish people? What does the Bible say about them? And so I look at that in the scriptures. We've talked about this a little bit on the radio, and I'm sure we'll be doing that more in the future. But what does the Bible say about the future of the Jewish people? Has God thrown them away? Zechariah 2:8, the Bible says that the Jewish people are the apple of his eye. And some people say that, well, when they rejected Christ as their Messiah, that the apple of his eye became rotten and he threw it away as a rotten apple and has nothing to do with them now. And the church has inherited all those promises and such. And that is not what the Bible teaches. And so I take a look at that in this article, "And So All Israel Shall Be Saved." Also, want to let you know that you can, let's see, I say it checks out at, get myself tongue-tied here, livewithpastoral.com. You can link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor, and you can find out more about our church there. It's a primary sponsor of the program, and we meet in Richfield, Ohio. Yeah, obviously, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and the church is located at, and I'm going to get the, I don't know why, I'm going to get this number wrong, get my tongue wrapped around my eye teeth, I can't see what I'm saying, 4174 Wheatley Road, I almost messed that number up. Yeah, we meet at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, Ohio. We meet in a storefront, basically, in a commercial strip. And so look for us, look for our door. You can find us pretty easily. We're right at the corner of Wheatley Road and Brecksville Road in Richfield, right near where 271 and 77 cross, and midway between Akron and Cleveland. We'd love to have you come out and visit us. We'll have more information about the church at the bottom of the hour and a couple more times during the course of the night. But you can always check us out online at livewithpastoral.com, and you can find some of those things as well. So with that in mind, let me give out that phone number once more. Our number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, give us a call. We'd love to have you on the program with us this evening. And we have got Cheryl waiting for us tonight. And Cheryl, welcome to the program tonight.
Thank you, Pastor Al. It's always great to be with you.
Well, good evening. Welcome.
I have a question for you, and that is, I think people always want a clear presentation of the ideas they're trying to explain. And so I wanted to hear what you could kind of summarize about the biblical basis and the political basis of, the attempt to remove parental permission, from this issue one. And, for example, I mean, sometimes it's, you know, we think of different ways of saying things, and something that certainly it's probably not unique, but, you know, like, obviously, the biblical basis of everyone is born in the image of God, but politically, you could say we are all Americans are guaranteed life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, except preterm babies. You know, I mean, if you would put together for people from those two perspectives some clear talking points that people could address. And someone's asking about why would you want to remove parental permission?
Well, and
that's
and
issue one.
Yeah, and for people who are listening, that is one of the things. Let me take a look here. I have, let's see, in my stack of stuff here, a copy on the ballot initiative, and it says this here. Let's see here. This is how it's going to be on the ballot when you get your ballot to vote. And, as just an aside before I read this, what's really sad is that there are a lot of pastors who will not talk about abortion from the pulpit because, well, they're afraid it'll upset people. There may be women in their congregation that have had abortions and in the past. And, you know, when we realize that God accepts us who we are, he forgives us of our sins when we come to Christ. It doesn't matter what we've done in the past. When we come to Christ, God forgives us, and he's going to work with us, and he's going to, pick us up from where we are when we come to him, and he is going to work in our hearts and in our lives that we can glorify him. And a pastor who is not willing to preach and teach on abortion and the sanctity of life because he's afraid that it might upset somebody in the congregation that's had an abortion, that's really sad, because it's such an important, pivotal issue, a moral issue. It's a biblical issue. And we have on the ballot the language. It'll say this: the proposed amendment would establish in the Constitution of the State of Ohio an individual right to one's own reproductive medical treatment, including but not limited to abortion, which, if I might give another aside, is why people are concerned that that's going to lead into transgender surgeries, because that has to do with your reproductive health. And the Amendment is not going to be limited to abortion. We've spent all our time mostly talking about abortion, but this can also include transgender surgeries. But it'll create legal protection for any person or entity that assists a person with receiving reproductive medical treatment, including but not limited to abortion. So again, there's the foot in the door for transgender surgeries. And then it says, it can prohibit the citizens of the state of Ohio from directly or indirectly burdening, penalizing, or prohibiting abortion before an unborn child is determined to be viable unless the state demonstrates it is using the least restrictive means. And on the surface, that sounds good, but then you get to the next point, which says, grant a pregnant woman's treating physician the authority to determine on a case-by-case basis whether an unborn child is viable. So even though it gives lip service to the state of Ohio being able to possibly do something, as long as they're demonstrating that it's the least restrictive means, it says here that the treating physician, the pregnant woman's treating physician, now this could be a 13-year-old girl that has been trafficked, and she's brought by her trafficker into the Planned Parenthood clinic, and they have a physician on hand who says, oh, yes, obviously she needs an abortion. There's the treating physician of the pregnant woman, and he has the authority to determine on a case-by-case basis whether an unborn child is viable, and nobody can question him on this because it also continues, only allow the citizens of the state of Ohio to prohibit an abortion after an unborn child is determined by a pregnant woman's treating physician to be viable, and only if the physician does not consider the abortion necessary to protect the pregnant woman's life or health. And it goes further, always allow an unborn child to be aborted at any stage of pregnancy. That means right up until the time she's given birth, regardless of viability, if, and here it is again, in the treating physician's determination, the abortion is necessary to protect the pregnant woman's life or health. State has no say-so. The woman's parents or guardians have no right to say-so. It all comes down to the pregnant woman and especially her treating physician, all the way up, abortion, all the way up until time birth. Well, you brought up some of the political aspect of this, and of course, we know that in the Declaration of Independence, it says in the second paragraph, we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Life is the first one listed there. Abortion is the ending of a life of a human being. And they said that all men, meaning all people, are created equal. It didn't say born or unborn, with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Unborn children, I believe, are deserving of life. And it's our responsibility to protect them. And then, of course, in the Constitution, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, and promote the general welfare and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Well, certainly general welfare would include protecting life, but we've certainly elaborated on that in the amendments. Where it says in Amendment 5, the Fifth Amendment, no person shall be held to answer for capital otherwise infamous crime unless on presentment or indictment of a grand jury, and it goes on talking about that. And then it says, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. Let me read that again. Basically, it's saying no person should be deprived of life without due process of law. So there ought to be protections of the unborn children, certainly from a political standpoint. Doesn't that sound reasonable when we're looking at that? Do we still have Cheryl there? I don't know if Cheryl can hear me or not. not hearing Cheryl right at the moment, but let me continue on. From the biblical standpoint, I'm trying to remember all of what Cheryl was asking about commenting on this, something as simple. Well, it's very simple from the political standpoint. Constitution and the Declaration of Independence all cite the idea of, that life is valuable, and it's one of our inalienable rights, and that it should not be taken from us for trivial reasons. And so that's part of it right there. Life needs to be protected. So I think that's very important to understand. Our founding documents cry out for that. The Bible cries out for the protection of life. If you get Cheryl back up there, we can get her on here again, but I still don't have her coming through. Okay, we're just not, yeah, hopefully, yeah, we'll come back to Cheryl in a minute. We'll hold Cheryl on there, but I'll continue addressing the question there. Just having a little problem there, I think, technical issue. So we'll see what happens there. Maybe we'll get her called back in on a different line. When we look at this and we understand that we're created in the image of God, and we come along to the biblical side of things, the theological aspect of all of this, attacking and killing innocent people, destroying human life, it's an attack on God himself, because we're created in the image of God. And when in Genesis chapter 9, I believe it is, let's see here, Noah and his family came off from the ark. And do we have Nancy or Cheryl back? Cheryl, can you hear me? Can we hear you? Cheryl, are you there? We're still not getting Cheryl.
Yeah, Pastor Al.
Oh, there you are. Hello.
I can. Can you hear me?
I can now. We seem to have lost you there for a bit.
Well, something happened to my phone, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know, disconnected or something.
All right. Well, we're glad you got you back. But
I heard you.
Okay. And so I was talking about the political aspect of abortion. It's very simple. The Constitution and the Declaration of Independence both are written from the idea of protecting and safeguarding life, as it's one of our inalienable rights given to us by God. And even the Fifth Amendment said it should not be deprived from life without due process of law, which, if you want to really take that literally, you would say the court would have to weigh in, not the woman's physician, attending physician, but they would have to make their case to the court, and the court would have to make a determination, not the woman's attending physician. And so on the face of it, it would be that this proposed amendment to the Ohio Constitution would violate the Fifth Amendment of the United States Constitution, which, now that I think about it, would make this one null and void, because the Ohio Constitution cannot supersede the federal constitution. And so
that's exactly what I was asking, because I don't think people would have those clear talking points, you know, when they're talking to someone about, especially that amendment and then the declaration, and just to have that in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing is, can someone propose like an issue or a bill that it contradicts the Constitution? Can they even propose that, or should that kind of bill that contradicts it not even be taken up?
Well, you can certainly propose it, but that's why we have a process. When a bill or an amendment is proposed, it has to have the language reviewed. And the state attorney general's office, State Attorney General David Yost, he allowed the language of the bill. Now, you know, we don't know all the reasons.
Like, he contradicted the Constitution by allowing the bill.
That's what I was just going to say. If the United States Constitution, specifically in the Fifth Amendment, says that no one should be deprived of life without, some kind of due process, meaning, you know, the courts need to get involved and review as to whether or not that life should be ended, because you are ending a human life. Some people would say, well, you're not ending. Well, then why do you need an abortion? If you're not ending a human life, there's no need for an abortion. If it's not alive, There's no need for an abortion. An abortion is, you know, in every sense of the word, a method of ending a life. That's all there is to it.
In other words, David Yost is approving something that is contrary to the Constitution. David Yost is the one who's doing that.
Well, and yes, I mean, he's the one who signed off on it, and again, like I said, let me turn back to it here. In the Fifth Amendment, it's right there. No person should be deprived. It says never be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. And
so why aren't people, you know, at the desk of David Yost?
Well, that's a good question. And should issue one pass, I would hope that somebody would sue and take this to the Supreme Court, because if the Supreme Court was to look at this, I don't know how they could say otherwise. Well, I know they could, but I mean, if they're going to be honest. And here's another thing. It's not just the Fifth Amendment. If you go over to the 14th Amendment, the Fifth Amendment talks about the federal government and restraining the federal government from depriving people of life without due process of law. But how about the 14th Amendment that says in Section 1, nor shall any state deprive any person of life without due process of law? There it is.
Yeah.
So
you're giving all kinds of reasons why should probably be fired.
Well, here in the United States Constitution, we've got two amendments. And you say, well, those are just the amendments. Well, the amendments is every bit as part of the Constitution as Section 1, Section 2, Section 3, etc. Because
and Declaration of Independence.
I would say the Declaration of Independence certainly foundational, but if you're just going to look at the Constitution, because after all, when I joined the military, I did not take an oath to defend the Declaration of Independence. I took an oath to defend the Constitution of the United States, as do all public officials.
He should be taken to task. Right now, I guess that's my feeling is, you know, why are they even letting it be proposed?
Well, and like I said, you can propose anything, but whether it should get on the ballot is a whole other issue.
But it did get on the ballot.
And it did, because somebody allowed a ballot language that allows the allows the treating physician to override the Fifth and the 14th Amendments of the United States Constitution.
Right.
I mean, that's what it looks like to me. But then, hey, what do I know? I'm not a constitutional scholar. I just read the thing and let the plain sense make common sense.
Well, no, but you know a lot. And I think just what you've said tonight, you know, gives people some very clear things that they can say to people, you know, when they, you know, just think we're kind of crazy that why would you have to hold on to that when it's just easy. It's better if you say it's the Fifth Amendment, it's the 14th Amendment, if you know, whatever, rather than just saying, well, it doesn't uphold, something really global and, more vague.
Yeah.
Than that.
Well, clue everybody in on something. The Constitution was written so the average person could understand it and not have to have a law degree in order to understand it. You have to get the law degree so you can twist it to mean something other than what it plainly says and then justify it. Hey, we're coming up on a break right now, but did that answer your question there?
It sure did. It sure did, and I think it should answer it for a lot of other people too.
All right. Well, I appreciate
thank
that.
You so much.
And keep advocating out there for life and taking a stand, and together God's people working and praying and doing what we can, hopefully we'll see issue one go down in flames in November. Well, stay tuned. We've got another, hour and a half to go to the program tonight, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. So stay tuned. God bless. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, good evening. Welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And, of course, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'd certainly love to hear from you here tonight. Brought to you, of course, by the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. Just heard about that there in the break, and I'm the pastor there. We'll have more about that as the program goes on. But if you go to livewithpastoral.com, you can learn more about me. You can learn more about the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. You can read some of the articles that I have on there, including my latest about the Jewish people, and so all Israel shall be saved. And then, of course, you can also listen to past programs that are there. And we've got going back for years on past programs, and not only our Friday night programs, both the 10 o'clock and the 11 o'clock hours are both there. We also have our Sunday night programs, 10 o'clock and 11 o'clock. We have our Friday afternoon program, which is every Friday from 1:30 to 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220. The Word, that's all available at livewithpastoral.com. And then, as I said, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, run the pastor is a main sponsor of the program. We're also sponsored by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. If you're out on the west side, check out East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road. That's 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can give them a call. Call 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And let them know that you heard about them here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. That's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. Give them a call, 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. All right, we're getting back to our program here, and we'll be touching on some things here over the course of the evening dealing with the Middle East. But right now, we're going to be picking up Terry in Canada calling us tonight. Terry, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Pastor Al.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing well.
Well, it's been a busy weekend, hasn't it?
It has, yes. You guys lost one of your speakers.
Yes, that was, really, in some sense, quite a surprise. And there are a lot of mixed feelings on that. I guess it is what it is. I can make a case good and bad for it. I think one of the things that I'm looking at personally is that, you know, the conservatives in the U.S. Senate, or not Senate, the House, Republicans had made the deal with Kevin McCarthy, saying basically, if you will uphold these conservative principles, we will support you. And if you don't, and I remember they changed the House rules and they got a thing in there where they could call a vote that could conceivably oust him. And he agreed to all of that. But when it came to the budget negotiations and all of that, he started heading back toward the Democrat positions on a lot of things. And some of the conservatives said, well, that's it. That's enough. And they held his feet to the fire. And I think he thought they bluffed, and he called their bluff, and that, well, they weren't bluffing. And now he's out. Temporary guy in there, trying to think, McHenry, I think is his name. And I found it kind of interesting. Maybe he should be the new speaker. The first thing he did is he booted Pelosi out of her cushy digs there. And then he took I think it's the minority leader, Steny Hoyer, and booted him out of his cushy little digs as well. Say, well, isn't that kind of petty? Well, isn't that what they did to everybody all the time? Besides, there's no law that says they have to have cushy spots just because of, they're in the opposition. They certainly didn't do any of that much for us. But at any rate, whatever the case is. But we'll see what happens. It may be a bit of a battle coming up to see who. One thing that actually two things I'll say. I'm hoping Jim Jordan might become the new Speaker of the House. It's interesting, there was a move to make him Speaker of the House, and let me just interject here. Speaker of the House is a very important position in more ways than one. The Speaker is actually second in line to the presidency. And people say, what do you mean by that? That means if something happens to the president, first in line is the vice president. If something happens to the president and the vice president, second in line is the Speaker of the House. And so whoever sits there, basically in the U.S. government, I guess if you want to look at it this way, president, vice president, Speaker of the House, that's the line of succession. And so it is an important position. But Jim Jordan last time said he did not want to be Speaker. There was a number of people trying to recruit him at that time. Be interesting, now that he has put his hat in the ring, and there's some other good ones, but I'm partly because he's from Ohio. I'm from Ohio. That's part of it right there. But I like him. I think he'd be good in that position, so time will tell. But let me share another thought that people have had. Donald Trump, Speaker of the House. Say, well, he's running for president. Why would he do that? He actually said, even though he has endorsed Jim Jordan, he's endorsed Jim Jordan for Speaker, but he said that he would be willing to be Speaker for a short period of time, basically through the end of the year, while the Republicans could kind of get everything together and organize to get behind a candidate and have him become the new speaker, you know, in January. But he would be glad to serve if called on, you know, between now and the end of the year. Now, think of the delicious irony in this. If he were to become Speaker of the House, and people say, well, he's not a representative. How can that happen? It has happened in the past. I remember reading a book on House Speakers history. I think Newt Gingrich, a former Speaker of the House himself, had written a book, a history of all the Speakers of the House in our country. And I think there was at least one that was never a member of the House. And there's no requirement. I mean, other than be a U.S. citizen, so they couldn't call you, but they could call me to be Speaker of the House. If they got the votes, they could do it. Any U.S. citizen that's qualified to serve in Congress or whatever could be Speaker of the House. So Donald Trump very easily, legally, could become Speaker of the House if he got the votes. But think of the delicious irony of Donald Trump overseeing the impeachment hearings for Joe Biden. Now, think about that. As the guy that said that, as he said, I'd get a bag of popcorn and pull up a chair and watch that show. That would be something. And see, Donald Trump overseeing the impeachment hearings of Joe Biden. Wow. Well, I'm not going to hold my breath, and I'm not going to get a bag of popcorn. I think it'd be stale before that happens, but it's just something interesting to think about, nevertheless.
Is Biden technically impeached? I didn't know that.
No, he's not been impeached yet. Right now they have impeachment inquiry hearings going on to lead to impeachment hearings. And basically what happens is the House impeaches. It's kind of like a grand jury leveling charges and saying there's something here to which, you know, we should have a trial. And if that's the case, if they're impeached, the trial goes over to the Senate. And the Senate acts as the body that can evaluate the evidence now that the charges have been filed, and then make a decision whether or not to find him guilty and remove him from office. So that's what a lot of people think impeachment means, removed from office. Impeachment means that they file charges saying that there should be a trial in the Senate to decide whether or not they should be removed from office. So that's why the various presidents that have been impeached, none of them have actually been removed from office. So, because it's never actually made it through the Senate in that fashion. But so interesting to see what's going to happen the next couple of weeks.
One reason for calling in was, Ismail.
Uh-huh.
Esau.
Right.
I think they have a lot to do with what's going on today in Islam.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And, of course, Ishmael was Abraham's first son by the servant Hagar, the servant girl Hagar. And then, of course, later Sarah bore him a son, and that was Isaac, the son of promise. And then in the case of Esau, Isaac had twins, fraternal twins, and that was Jacob and Esau. But Esau was the one that was born first, because obviously twins are not born at the same time. As a complete aside, every once in a while you get an interesting case where there's some twins that are born on either side of New Year's. One will be born like at 11:59 p.m. on December 31st, and the other one will be born at, say, 1:05 a.m. on January 1st. But they're twins, but they're a year apart and they're 2 months apart. And if that happened, you know, at the beginning of the division of centuries, they'd even be further apart, even though they're still fraternal twins. Esau was born first, and then Jacob was born. But Jacob was the son of promise in that case as well, just like with Ishmael. with Isaac as opposed to Ishmael. And as we get back to Ishmael, because of the animosity between the descendants of Ishmael and the descendants of Isaac, is why we have a lot of the trouble in the Middle East. And likewise, the trouble between the descendants of Esau and the descendants of Jacob. And the Arab peoples are Semitic people, just like the Jewish people are. They're all the descendants of Abraham. Some of them are descendants of Abraham through Isaac. Some of them are the descendants of Abraham through Esau. I'm sorry, I said Isaac, the descendants of Abraham through Ishmael, and some through the descendants of Esau. It's interesting, the book of Job appears to be a descendant of both Isaac and Esau. Very interesting. I forget which one, mother or father, comes from which, but you can follow his genealogy elsewhere in the scripture, and it indicates that he's a descendant of both. So he is a descendant of Abraham, and then part of the understanding of Job, a very wealthy man, a ruler, a king, but God promised both Isaac's children and Esau's children that he would bless them and that they would be numerous and that they would be powerful and they would be kings and rulers because they were the descendants of Abraham. But the promise did not go to them. The promise that in Abraham all nations would be blessed, that promise went to Isaac and then to Jacob. And I have to mention, too, Abraham later had a third wife, Keturah, who bore him sons and daughters. And it's believed that some of Keturah's children would have made up Sheba and Dedan, which would be associated with, I believe, the Gulf states and some of those parts, and maybe even some of Saudi Arabia. So some of the Arabs would actually come through Keturah's children and the sons and daughters that were born to Abraham there. A lot of people forget about Keturah and all. One of the big reasons that the Arab peoples look at Israel, the land there, not the people, the land there belonging to them, is because, well, Ishmael was the firstborn. And so they claim that the promise to Abraham went to the eldest son, which is Ishmael.
Right.
And on the face of it, they have a claim. But in Genesis chapter 21, we're given a situation that when you look into it, appears to eliminate any claim that the descendants of Ishmael would have on the land. And that's the case where Sarah then has a child. And by this time, there's animosity between Sarah and Hagar, and Sarah is jealous of Hagar's child that Abraham fathered. And so when she finally has a child, and the child is born, this is Isaac, it says in Genesis 22, in verse 8, and the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made great feasts the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. And the question becomes, what do they mean mocking? And I've heard all kinds of weird ideas put forth, but I think the text indicates clearly what the mocking is. Let me just read a little further. It says in verse 10, wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad, because of thy bondwoman. And all that Sarah has said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And see, that's because he's the son of promise, and Ishmael wasn't. And then he continues in verse 13, and also the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation because he is thy seed. So since he's the descendant of Abraham, he's going to be blessed as well. But here's the thing. The mocking appears to have to do with who was going to inherit Abraham's, you know, titles and position and all of that. And the Ishmael is about 13 years old when this is taking place. And one could easily think that there, or see, or make the case that Ishmael was mocking, they're celebrating Isaac coming, you know, being weaned, and a celebration of Isaac, the son. And Ishmael over there is a 13-year-old saying, well, they're making a big deal out of him, but you know, I'm the firstborn. I'm the one who inherits everything. You know, make all the fuss you want over this little baby, but I'm the one that inherits everything. And you could see where that would be a form of mocking, and would prompt Sarah to say, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And there's even more to it than that. Under the law of Hammurabi, which was followed by many of the people in that part of the world at this time, the law of Hammurabi basically said that if you have a son with a bondwoman, and that son is heir to all of your things, if the bondwoman is given her freedom, one of the costs of her freedom is the son no longer is heir. He's cut off completely. When you understand, or the code of Hammurabi, I said the law of Hammurabi, but same thing. The code of Hammurabi, when you understand the code of Hammurabi, you understand why Sarah said, cast out the bondwoman. She literally said, give her her freedom. Why? For the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And that's why it was grievous in Abram's sight, because he understood what she was saying. Send Hagar away. Set her free. And in doing so, Ishmael will no longer be heir to anything of yours. And it grieved Abram, because Abraham loved Ishmael. It was his son. He's 13 years old. It's his son. And he loved him. He was concerned. He didn't want to see him disinherited. But God said, listen, go ahead and do it. Because remember, it's Isaac that's the son of promise. But because Ishmael's your son, I will bless him, and I will make a nation out of him. But see, the Arab peoples look at this, and they think that Ishmael inherited and Isaac didn't. Isaac is the one who usurped, just like they look at, we don't have time to get into Jacob and Esau, but Jacob, they believe, usurped the promise, the inheritance from Esau. And so they claim they're the rightful owners of the land. And so the Jewish people there are usurpers. They should not be there. It belongs to them because they're the descendants of Ishmael. Well, if it weren't for the code of Hammurabi, which gives you understanding in Genesis 21 here, if it weren't for that, they might have a point. But of course, it is there, and so their claims are gone. And of course, Esau was to be a wild man, and he had no regard for his inheritance and sold his inheritance to his brother anyways for a bowl of pottage. And so he had no claim there as well. The inheritance would have went to Jacob. They did not need to trick Isaac, him and his mom, didn't need to fool and deceive Isaac. God would have seen to it that the thing went to him. Anyways, but so they jumped the gun, and of course, descendants of Esau would claim that they were robbed, and so again, there's the claim the land belongs to them. But when you read the Bible, clearly it doesn't. Of course, they think the Bible's wrong.
I was going to say something about Ishmael and Esau. They both married women that they weren't supposed to marry.
Well,
and one other thing too is Abraham and Sarah, they didn't believe God in the first place.
Right, they jumped the gun, and it's, you know, people talk about surrogate pregnancies. That's essentially what it was, because under the code of Hammurabi, by having Hagar giving her maidservant to Abraham, and Abraham fathering a child with her, if the child was born there with Sarah present, it would be as if Sarah had the child. And so it's like a surrogate pregnancy in a sense. And well, you see how well that worked out.
And that wasn't God's plan.
No, no, they jumped the gun. And it's a warning about not waiting on God, you know, in the terms of Abraham and Sarah, and then with Jacob and his mother Rebekah, it's also a warning about taking matters into your own hands and not trusting God to work it out. So,
and that's a problem we all have.
Yeah, and of course the devil inflames those differences down through the ages, and that's why we see the animosity between the Arabs, the descendants of Ishmael and Esau, at odds with the Jews, the descendant of Isaac through Jacob. And we see that happening. And of course, what's happening over there in the Middle East today is an outgrowth of this. And the Bible talks about that, the unrest and the animosity between them down through the ages. But one day, God will step in, and one day they will all know who is Lord and Savior. Again, good question there, Terry. I hear the music there, and I know we got just about a minute or so to go. But appreciate the question there tonight, Terry. Final thought there before we jump out of here?
Pray for Israel. Love Israel.
Amen. Pray for them. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, the Bible says. And we'll continue to do that. Well, thank you, Terry. God bless. And everybody stay tuned. We're going to take a short break here. And we will be back with another hour of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back with you.